Romans chapter 3, let's begin tonight in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. One of the things that is so important to effective warfare, to successful Christian living and overcoming the enemy, as we've been discussing, is God's righteousness in your life. Knowing the God kind of righteousness. Knowing that you've been made right by the blood of the Lamb, not by your works or by your flesh or by anything of yourself, but by the cross and the blood, I have been made right through my simple faith in Jesus. I'm the very righteousness of God in Christ. See, I can't overcome the devil independent of an understanding of God's kind of righteousness. Because he'll be quick to point out a flaw. He'll be quick to point out a weakness. He'll be quick to point out a mistake. He'll be quick to remind me of even past mistakes. But if I'm established in God's kind of righteousness, not self-righteousness, not man's righteousness, not our group's righteousness, but God's righteousness, I'm able to fight a good fight. I'm able to release my faith and operate in faith and see great and mighty things in my life. Notice again that he talks about the law of faith, the law of faith. There are forces that govern God's kind of faith in our heart and in our lives. There are spiritual laws that are in the kingdom of heaven that if we learn of these laws and cooperate with these laws, then we'll be successful in our Christian walk and in overcoming the devil, in prevailing and overcoming whatever obstacle he puts in our way or comes at us with. But if we remain ignorant and unlearned concerning the kingdom and concerning laws that govern the kingdom and how to cooperate with those laws, we fail not because God wills for us to fail. The Bible says we're perishing for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. If we're failing in any area, it's not God's fault, is what I've been teaching you and sharing with you. But it's on our end, and that's not to condemn us or put us down. It is to motivate us to do some troubleshooting in our lives at time and discover what's wrong on our end, because if we're not seeing the power of God and we're not seeing the blessings of God, it's not God's fault. That's what I've been sharing and what I've been teaching you. And so like the laws of gravity, they're indiscriminary laws and they're consistent and they work for everybody. It's a law, the law of gravity. Now, there's higher laws that supersede the law of gravity, and those are the laws of aerodynamics, the law of thrust and lift. A plane defies the laws of gravity with a higher law. The law of gravity is still there, but the higher law of thrust and lift supersedes the law of gravity. And as long as you're operating in the law of aerodynamics with a certain amount of thrust and a certain amount of lift, you can fly forever. But if you quit operating in the law of thrust and lift, the law of gravity is right there to meet you, and it's going to be a rude awakening when you meet that law again. And so it is in the kingdom. There are laws that govern God's kingdom that are as consistent and reliable as the law of gravity and as consistent and reliable as these higher laws of aerodynamics. But if we don't know them, just like man didn't know the laws of aerodynamics, so he couldn't fly, not because it wasn't God's will for him to fly. He didn't have a knowledge of those laws, and he didn't operate in those laws. But when he got a knowledge of those laws and he operated in them, he flies. Egypt or Israel could have flown a plane out of Egypt in their deliverance, but they didn't know the laws of aerodynamics. And they could have had artificial light in Jesus' day, because the laws of electricity would have worked in their days had somebody had the knowledge of it and operated in it. They'd have had artificial lights. And so it is today in the kingdom. I wonder how many laws, spiritual laws, are still unknown by the church, that if we learned these laws and operated in them, can you imagine the blessings that could be coming upon us? But if we don't, we suffer. Not because God wills, and not because Satan's greater. We simply haven't humbled ourselves and got in the Word of God and followed the Spirit of the Lord and learned certain laws and operated in them and been blessed by them. We talked about the laws of electricity last week and how that there are certain laws that govern electricity, and if there isn't light in this building tonight, it's not the electric plant's fault. They're generating the power, but it's at our command. And we have to exercise our authority and flip the switch. And the lights come on. The electric power didn't turn them on for us. The power was there the whole time. We released it through an act of obedience, flipping the switch. If we flip the switch, we talked about how if the lights don't come on, we need to go and check the breakers. Something's wrong. There's human error somewhere. It's not the electric company's fault. So it is in the kingdom of heaven. When things go wrong in our lives, listen, it's not God's fault. He loves you. He is releasing grace and love towards you. And if something goes wrong, if something bad happens to us, God's not to blame. He's not at fault. It's on our end somewhere. And that's so important. So important. Just like when a plane crashes, nobody questions the laws of aerodynamics. Nobody says a word about maybe the laws of aerodynamics don't work and maybe we shouldn't be flying. No, everybody knows there's human error somewhere if a plane crashes. And even when we can't figure it out, nobody questions the laws of aerodynamics. They work. There's human error somewhere. Something went wrong on our end, and we're going to investigate. We're going to observe. We're going to check this out, and we'll find what's wrong, and we'll fix it, and that won't happen again. So it is with the law of faith. So it is with the law of sowing and reaping. So it is with the law of life in Christ Jesus that made you free from the law of sin and death. There are spiritual laws that if we don't know them, we suffer. If we operate in wisdom in these laws, we prosper. Amen? And if something goes wrong, it's human error on our part. God loves you. God's for you. God's blessed you. God's grace is all over you, and He wills nothing but good for you. And so when things go wrong, we don't need to blame God. It's not His fault. He done what He needed to do and is going to do at the cross on your behalf. And by grace, He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, we have to believe. We have to receive from the Lord. And so when I'm struggling, I don't waver. Is God mad at me? Is God against me? Is this God? No, it's on my end somewhere. And that's helped me improve. It's helped me grow. For instance, again, the law of faith. There are spiritual laws that govern faith. Let me give you three quick examples, and then we're going to get into some good stuff if you have a hungry, thirsty heart tonight, I promise. In the law of faith, faith is what releases the grace of God. Faith in God's grace is how we got saved. Faith in God's grace is how we get healed. Faith in God's grace is how we prosper. Faith in God's grace is how we begin to be and act the way God's called us to be and act. And so faith is so important, and there are laws that work with faith. Do you know that everybody that's been saved for 2,000 years got saved the same exact way? Everybody got saved the same way. Now, we all came to Jesus maybe different ways and through different means, and some people came to Jesus by going to church, and they discovered the Lord. They're really blessed if they found the Lord at church. Other people didn't go to church, but they got involved in drugs, and the enemy destroyed their life, and they got so beat down, they found the Lord at the bottom, at the end of the needle or an overdose or something like that. Other people, they didn't receive the Lord early. They went the route of alcohol and, boy, nearly destroyed their lives and their liver. But they got so down, they found the Lord. They discovered the Lord. So we all came through different avenues, different means, different groups even. But we all came to the Father the same way, through the Son. We all had to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him with our mouth, and we got saved. We all got saved by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing God raised Him from the dead. That's a spiritual law. It works the same for white people, black people, Americans, Filipinos. Are you with me? It's a law. It's a law of faith. Now, within faith, there are certain things that work with faith that causes your faith to be effectual in your life. And let me give you three real quick just to prove my point about spiritual laws and how things work. The Bible says faith does not work alone. In Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see how hope works with faith? You have to have hope before faith comes. Nobody just believes God for anything that didn't have hope first. Hope always comes first. It works with faith. Hebrews 6:12 says, by faith and patience, everybody say patience, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. See, patience means endurance. See, every time you believe God for something, there's a time element involved, and it can be shortened, it can be lengthened. We don't have all the answers why We pray, we believe, we receive, and we shall have. When I pray and ask God for something, he gives it to me instantly in Jesus and by faith, but the manifestation of it may take 3 weeks, 3 months, some cases 3 years. But I believe I receive the minute I ask, and then I shall have. But see, somewhere between the I believe I receive and the shore of I shall have are turbulent waters a lot of times, and the devil wars against that prayer and against that faith and tries to get you to abort your faith and give up. And so you have to endure some things sometimes. And we don't have all the answers. I can't tell you why you pray right now and it takes a minute for the answer to come. Sometimes you pray and it takes an hour. Sometimes you pray and it takes a day. There are some answers. We don't have them all. We've got some. Some of my prayers involve people. And if people are hard-headed, God's going to have to slap them upside the head with a tube for to answer my prayer. And so he might wait a few days because he don't want you hurt. But I keep praying. I keep standing. You're going to get hit upside the head with a tube for because God's working on my prayer. And you're involved in the answer to my prayer. And so I got to be patient. I got to endure some things. It took some time, but God heard me the minute I prayed. Just like when Daniel prayed, the Lord answered him his prayer immediately, but it took 21 days for that angel to get that answer to him. The day he got the answers, not the day God answered, the angel said, from the day you prayed, God sent me. In other words, the answer's always on the way. And it takes patience. A lot of people don't know that. So they pray, nothing happens, they just give up. You got to have patience. And then Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. The more you see God's love for you, the easier it is to believe for anything. And the more you walk in the love of God, the purer your faith is released. You can't exercise Bible faith and be mean to people. Amen. Now, a lot of you just found out what's wrong. Amen. It's a spiritual law. Faith works by love. And that means God's love for me causes my faith to soar, and then my love for my fellow man. I can't be mean to people and unlovely and expect my faith to be effectual. So those are just some examples of how that there are laws, there are principles that govern Bible truth and God's kingdom, and God's kingdom. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 8. Because I'm going to share something for the remaining of my time that very few people talk about, and I don't understand why. I really don't. And so I'm going to talk about it, and I'm just going to touch the surface of it. I'm about to finish. This is my sixth hour, and I've laid a good foundation on basics of spiritual warfare. We're going to get into the harder stuff starting next week of Job and Ananias and Sapphira and Paul calling blindness down on a man, all those kind of things that are difficult, we'll look at those. This is simple, but I don't understand why more people do not talk about what I'm fixing to share with you, because there are laws that govern faith. And you can't see the power of God, you can't see the blessings of God without faith. You can't please God without faith. Amen? And we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody said the other day, are you one of them faith preachers? Well, now how do I answer that? No, I'm a doubt and unbelief preacher. Anybody that's preaching the truth is a faith preacher. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm preaching the word, faith's coming. So in that sense, I'm a faith preacher. I don't want to be tagged in what they mean by that, but you can't please God without faith. You can't be safe without faith. You can't overcome Satan, an unseen foe, without faith. That's why so many denominations are locked into death. They don't even believe there's a spirit world. And demons are real. And that's what I've been teaching you. They're real. And you better get equipped to whip them. Because they're real and they're powerful in the natural. And so you better learn some things. And learn to discipline yourself. All right, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said something about faith here that you don't hear preached, and I don't understand why. Because he commended this Roman soldier, you're familiar with it, but I want to read this to you, and then we're going to look at a lot of passages. He commended this Roman soldier and said this Roman soldier had great faith. Amen? Only time in the Bible Jesus said somebody had great faith. Well, I want to know what the Roman soldier knew and what he was operating in that caused Jesus to say, You have great faith. Because I want to have great faith. I want a church that has great faith. Amen? And so watch this right here. Verse 5 of Matthew 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Man, I love the willingness of the Lord to heal. I just come and heal him. That is so cool. Look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, there's a humble man. There's a man that's not playing games. He's not messing around. He's not pretending to be something he's not. He's not in this false humility or pride. He looks at the Lord and says, listen, I am not worthy for you to come to my house to come under my roof. Now, the groups I grew up in, Jesus would not have responded according to the group I grew up in the way Jesus responded. Jesus would have had to say something down the line of, well, you need to get worthy. You need to get right. You need to be holy. You're right. I ain't coming to your house till you're perfect. I'm not coming to your house till you get your act together, and on it could go. This man says, I am not worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Look at verse 9. For I am a man under authority. Underline authority. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, that word authority there, we're going to refer to this throughout the passages I'm going to be looking at. In the Greek, it's exousia, exousia, exousia. It is the Greek word exousia. Doesn't that sound good? I sound smart, don't I? Exousia. It means delegated authority. Delegated authority. It means delegated influence. Delegated influence. In other words, your influence is delegated to you. It means jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. When Jesus heard it, look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed from the selfsame hour. Notice that Jesus said, as you have believed, be it unto you. Not as God wills. God willed to heal the man. He said, be it unto you as you believe. I don't understand why that's bad news to so many people. That's such good news to me. It can be unto me as I believe, and I can believe more, and I can believe better, and I can grow in my believing. And so I can have more things and good things happening and manifesting in my life as I learn to believe. It's not according to God and God's end. It was according to the man's ability to believe. And whatever he believed, that's what he got. Whatever we believe is what we're getting. Some of you looking at me like, oh no. I ain't believing too good. We're getting what we believe. Well, I just don't believe in that stuff. And you're getting what you believe. Because I believe in this stuff. And I'm getting what I believe. And I'm believing more today than I believed 10 years ago. And I'm getting more today than I believed 10 years ago. Now, what I want you to see is, this man's understanding of authority was linked to his faith. This man's understanding of authority and Jesus being under authority was directly linked to his faith. To his faith. The power of God is released by faith, and authority and power go hand in hand in the Word of God, and in us living by faith. You cannot exercise God's power outside of God's delegated authority. What people have missed is they think we can have power in areas we don't have any authority. And you cannot have the power of God working outside of God-ordained authority. And there are different levels of authority and different measures of authority and realms of authority. I have authority in certain areas of my life, and so I'm seeing the power of God where I am under and have authority. There are other areas I don't have any authority, so I cannot indiscriminately release the power of God where I don't have authority. I have total authority over me and my body, and so I can release the power of God for me, and it is limitless for me and my life and God's plan for my life. I have total 100% authority over my body and over my life, and so I can see the power of God for me at whatever level I can believe for. But guess what? I have limited authority over Sue. I've got more authority over Sue than anyone else in this planet, and so I can release a certain amount of power, even in prayer, in Sue's life and for Sue because of the authority as her husband that I have over her. You'll get it. I have a certain amount of authority, not 100%, but it's in the 90s, over my children. When they were little bitty, I had 100% authority over them, so I could pray and see miracles for them, believe God for anything, because I had 100% authority over their life. Then as they reached the age of accountability, now that limited a little bit of my authority, so it limited a little bit of my ability to exercise faith to release the power of God in their lives because of their free will. When they get married, they come out from under more of my authority, so I have less power, less influence, less ability to pray for them and see results than when they were babies because of the authority issue. I have authority over this church, but it's limited. So my power is limited based on whatever authority you give me. And if you don't give me authority, I can't release power, even in prayer, over your life. I can't make you get healed. I can't make you, and your marriage is functional. The power that I have is from God and of God, and it works within boundaries of authority. And that's why some people in this church have willfully come under my authority, my covering, and they are yielding their will to my oversight. When I pray for them, I see more results. I release more power. I have more faith because they recognize my authority. They submit to my authority. Now the power of God can be released in a greater measure in prayer for them than somebody's just visiting who don't even think I'm a man of God. And I didn't mean to say anybody visiting doesn't think I'm a man of God. I was trying to make an example. You know what I'm trying to say? I can pray for them and have some effect, but this authority issue is a major thing in receiving the power of God and operating in the power of God. I have authority in Durant, ordained of God, given to me by God as an elder in that city, and so my prayers avail, and there's fruit, and there's the power of God being released at an unprecedented measure in my life. But see, one of the reasons I haven't done any more than an outreach here in Sherman is because I don't know yet, and I'm not 100% sure I have the authority by God to pastor in Sherman. Okay, it's not working. I can't leave Durant, go to Sacramento, California, of my own volition, and start a church there and see the power of God in manifestation and demonstration like I've seen in Durant in manifestation and demonstration unless God tells me to go to Sacramento and unless God gives me the authority, regional authority, the power won't work no matter how many principles I know, no matter how many charismatic preachers I've listened to, and no matter how much foolishness I've operated in, I'm not going to be able to see the power of God if God doesn't give me the authority. You can't just indiscriminately exercise authority and power without God releasing that authority first. That's why I can't just go into the hospitals and empty it. I've seen miracles, I've seen people healed, and religious people have come up to you inevitably and say, well, why don't you just go to the hospital? If you got the power to heal, why don't you just go down there to that hospital and just empty that hospital out? I don't have any authority over that hospital. I don't have any authority over those people's lives, and those people are unbelievers, and they don't like me, and they don't like you. And the power of God is not going to be released where people don't honor God-appointed, God-anointed authority. And you're not going to operate in the power of God till you come under authority. It's a major issue, And even the charismatics have flamboyantly ignored it. And that's why so many of them are failing. And they're wondering why it isn't working. Because most of them have gotten out from under authority. Most of them are beyond their authority, trying to exercise power, because the power is of God. The power is the Holy Spirit. And it only works by faith. And faith works under authority. All right, let's run some passages here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, exousia, authority, on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go home. I love it. Just so you'll know, I got the power to forgive sins. I'll show you real power. Get up and walk. Go home. Church is a bad place for you. They'll fill you full of doubt and unbelief. Religious people today, God has the power to forgive sins. But he doesn't have the power to heal our bodies. He wills to forgive sins, but doesn't will to heal our bodies. Amazing how religion has messed us up. Verse 7 says, And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power or authority unto men. Unto men. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power, exousia, that means authority, exousia, against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I want you to understand, before the power of God, and we'll get into the power of God here toward the end, but before the power of God, the authority came first. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits and to do these things. Watch this, though. This is fascinating. Now, he calls and tells us who the 12 are, and then look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 now. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice that their authority was limited at this time. This is before the cross, and this is before the day of Pentecost. And he said, I give you authority, and because I give you authority, you're going to have power to cast out devils. You're going to have power to cleanse the leper. You're going to have power to do signs and wonders. But don't you go to Samaria. And don't you go to the Gentiles. See, if they would have went to the Gentiles, they'd have been out from under God's authority and the power wouldn't have been there. And that's what's wrong with the church. Some of our kinds of churches that love the word and are really pursuing and seeking God, we've learned a few things. But there is so much disorder and lack of authority and submission to authority and people being under authority that we're having some results. But I bet you 80% of you in this church know in your heart of heart we should be seeing more power than what we're seeing, even though we're seeing a measure of power. I've seen enough power to get heavily persecuted, so I'm not complaining, but I know there's more power for me. I've only seen 2 people raised from the dead. That's not very good. I think we ought to see more. I have a friend I had dinner with yesterday that raised a woman from the dead. And it's documented. And they had her legally dead. They had already done the paperwork on this lady at the funeral home and declared her dead. And it took them 2 weeks to legally bring her back to life. She was declared dead for 2 weeks. But you don't hear about that in a lot of our churches, and you won't hear about it. Amen or oh me. There's miracles going on everywhere. There's people being healed, people being raised, diseases bowing their knee. We're seeing some good things, but if we're honest, we're also getting whipped. We're seeing people die that, bless God, we know in our heart they shouldn't have died. We're praying and we see a miracle, we get excited, but then we pray and something's wrong. And it's real easy just to blame God. But it's not real smart. Maybe we're out of order. Maybe there's some things that we still need to learn, that we learned just enough to get out of religion, maybe. Maybe we got enough knowledge to get excited. Maybe now we believe God's alive. Thank you, Jesus. We've come a long way. I mean, I remember when you couldn't even preach about healing, and everybody'd get upset. People want to be sick. I'm serious. There are people been sick so long and blamed God for so long, it's their identity. They can't see themselves separated from their illness. It's who they are. And if I was to pray for them and they get healed, they wouldn't know what to talk about. This will hit the rest of you later. I'm in a hurry. There's people that'll fight you to be poor. I remember some of the Pentecostal churches that I ministered in earlier in my ministry, and I'd start to talk about how God wills to prosper us and bless us, and they'd get mad. They wanted to be poor. I mean, that's dumb. They actually thought if we prospered, we wouldn't serve God. You know, the only reason I'm serving God is because I'm broke and sick and mad and mean. I ain't got nowhere else to go. So I'm going to go to church. We do not have unlimited authority in the kingdom. I don't know what all the boundaries are. I haven't learned everything. I don't know everything. I've learned a few things. I've learned over in Ephesians chapter 4 that we all have different gifts and measures of grace, and we have to operate in that gift and that measure of grace. I know in my own life, I only have authority to a certain boundary, and I've learned experientially when I step over that line, the power of God's just not there. Just like there is a grace and a power on me to do what I do that's miraculous. The supernatural strength I operate in, the supernatural power of God I operate in, it's because I'm living within my realm and sphere of authority. I'm doing what God told me to do, where He told me to do it, and the day I quit that and do what I want to do and step out from under that authority, that grace, there won't be any power there, and I'm going to crash and burn. And so will you. You just aren't aware of your boundaries yet. Do you know your will is a boundary in my life? If you want to be sick, I can't get you healed. If you want to go to hell, I can't drag you to heaven. Do you know I can't usurp authority over your will? And if you want to go to hell, God will honor it. And He'll let you go. He's letting people by the droves go to hell. Well, I think God is not real. And how could a God of love send people to hell? God isn't sending anybody to hell. People are choosing to go to hell. And God honors their free will. If you want to go, you can go. I'm going to make it hard for you. You keep coming, I'm going to make you miserable. I'm going to make it difficult. I'm going to keep preaching the love of God, the love of God. And it's just going to eat you up. But hopefully you'll yield. Everybody say yield. And hopefully you'll believe. Everybody say believe. And everybody say receive. Once you believe and receive and become a child, that gives me now a little more, not total authority, but a little more authority in your life. And if you will submit to me as your pastor, that gives me more authority in your life. And if you will walk in that authority and submit to my authority, and if I'll stay under authority, we can see the power of God in ways we have not seen, dear ones, that I believe is coming, because we're learning how to be under authority and operate in authority. I believe it. I really believe it with all my heart that better days are ahead. Write this passage down, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Exousia means authority. Behold, I give unto you power, which means authority there, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power, that's dunamis, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The second Greek word for power in the Bible is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from that, explosive, miraculous power. Explosive, miraculous power. That's the power that the believer lives in. See, you don't have the power to save yourself. It was God's power that saved you. Amen? And you don't have the power in and of yourself to live the Christian life. It's God's power working in you. And you don't have the power to preach, and you don't have the power to serve, and you don't have the power to do good. That's the power of God working in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. There's a difference between authority and power. Acts chapter 1. We looked at it last week. We won't spend long here. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Exousia, authority. Verse 8. But you shall receive power, that's dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Notice now, after the resurrection and the day of Pentecost, your authority will be expanded because of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of the cross that was for the Jew and the Gentiles. Now you can go on into Samaria and be a witness. And be a witness. See, it's the Holy Spirit in our lives that makes us a witness, not a track. I'm not knocking tracks, but anybody can pass out a track. Lost people can pass out tracks, and groups can pass out tracks. That's witnessing, and that's okay. I'm not knocking that, but that's not what he's saying here. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be a witness. And see, again, a lot of charismatics or Pentecostal people even, they think of just the demonstrative, explosive, dynamic power of God in being a witness. But saints, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that makes you kind. It's not the fruit of your own spirit, your own willpower. I'm going to be kind. It's the power of God that produces kindness in our life and meekness in our life and goodness in our life. Amen. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It takes the power of God to say no to drugs. Not just willpower. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we can deal with vices like that. We can get set free from the things that are trying to ensnare us, that Satan's trying to use to enslave us again. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is not always spectacular, but it's very supernatural. I even shy away from the spectacular anyway, because of the circus mentality in some spirit-filled churches. They want a show, and they want a circus. And I'm not too interested in a show. I'm not too interested in a circus. I'm not too interested in all this theology that ain't changing lives. I'm not too interested in my reputation, praying for 10 people. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, it's your fault. No, I'm going to pray for 10 people. If 3 get healed, I'm going to rejoice. And then I'm going to pray about the 7. What happened here, God? I'm not condemning them, but you love them. And we might need to know something we don't know here. I remember how I was rejected early in the ministry by some charismatics for just asking questions. You're not supposed to ask questions. Just lay hands on them, walk away. It's doubt and unbelief to ask them questions. No, it's not. Jesus prayed for a man one time that was blind and asked him a question. How's it going? What do you see? He said, I see ministries. And Jesus said, that ain't good enough. Slapped him upside the head again. Laid hands on him is what the Bible says. And then he saw ministries. I mean, then he saw men clear. Right? I get it right? I'm really asking, did I get it right? So he asked a question. How did it go? Did you receive? What happened here? There's nothing wrong with me praying for somebody and saying, okay, are you better? Because the idea isn't show. The idea isn't proving our doctrines. The idea isn't, I'm going to prove God heals, pray for 500 people and one gets healed and we glory in the Lord. 499 didn't get healed. Why? And it's okay to ask. Is there something I need to know? Is there something going on in them, Lord? Amen. It's the only way we're going to grow. It's the only way we're going to get better. Instead of just throwing up generic prayers and going on and acting like we did our part. I want to learn. I want to learn and do it right. I want to teach you to do it right. Then I want to evaluate what we're doing. Amen? I mean, wouldn't you like to go to a church that did more than just pray for you? Wouldn't you like to go to a church that prays for you and then ask, is it better? Are your finances any better? Well, we'll pray one more time. Yeah, we're going to pray one more time. We're going to pray one more time. If they ain't no better, we're going to sit down and find out why. No. Just pray. Just pray. You really getting what I'm trying to say? Maybe we really don't want to know why things aren't working. And I'm just not going to play games with you, play games with God, play games with me. Man, when I pray and I don't see something happen, I get on my knees and I start investigating what's going on here. There's a battle. There's a real enemy. He's either deceiving me here, or there's an obstacle here, or something is wrong on my end. I'm not condemned about it, but I want to see results. If I pray for your business, I expect it to prosper and the tithe to increase. Amen. So if I don't see the tithe increasing, I'm going to find out what happened to my prayer. All right, that didn't work. All right, go to Acts 19. Well, I think I've got time. Look at Acts 3. Peter was an apostle. Peter had an authority as an apostle that believers did not have. Even though all believers have authority, we have different measures of authority. Does that make sense? Everybody that's saved has authority. Spirit-filled people, and you define what that means. I'm not going to argue with you about it. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And that was the power to be a witness. All believers have authority. Spirit-filled believers have power beyond the authority and with the authority. Everybody born again has authority, but not everybody is walking in power. I had authority over the devil for years, but it wasn't until I was filled with the Holy Spirit that I saw the power with the authority and the results in my life. And so there's a difference between authority and power. Peter had an authority as an apostle that he walked in that released a great measure of power. And so it is today. One of the reasons we see so little power is, do you realize the church world at large does not believe in prophets anymore or apostles anymore? Now, there are no apostles like the 12 apostles. And there are no apostles like Paul in the sense of someone writing scripture and being used in that way. But there are fivefold ministry gifts given to the church, and apostles have an authority a pastor doesn't have, and prophets have authority a pastors do not have, and evangelists have authority that pastors don't have. And when all those things start coming together in authority and submission one to another, there's greater power released. And that's why Satan has duped a whole generation into believing there aren't even any apostles anymore. You've done away with the spiritual authority and thereby limited a measure of power. Again, I have authority as a husband over Sue that I don't have over you as a member of our church. I have authority over my children that I don't have over your children. You see how there's different measures of authority? I have authority over the members of our church that I don't have over the members of another church. Amen. And Jesus said, you want to see great faith. If you want to find a place where there's great faith, find people who understand authority and are under authority and exercising authority. That's where you'll find great faith. And where you find great faith, you'll find great power. Amen. Well, I want to get there. I want to be a part of something like that. So I better be under authority, and I better live within my God-appointed, God-anointed authority and not get outside my authority. There's only certain things I can use my faith on, and if you don't exercise faith, my faith won't get it done. My faith won't get you saved. It won't get my kids saved. See, those are things a lot of people haven't learned. They think their faith can get things done for other people, and you've stepped out of your authority, and it won't work. Everybody all right? Amen. It is amazing how when I have authority and I operate in it, the power's there. And that's one of the ways I know when I get outside my authority is the quenching of power. Nothing's happening here. That's the first thing I look for when my prayers aren't working or I'm trying to operate in something. That's the first thing I check is, okay, am I outside of my realm of authority here? Amen? Because if I get outside my realm of authority, my prayers aren't going to avail. There's going to be no power. But boy, when I have authority. And see, religious people hate authority. Do you remember Matthew 21? I think it's Matthew 21, about 23. Verse 23, the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "By what authority do you do these things?" See, they knew you got to have authority to exercise power. And Jesus said, "Tell you what, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. By what authority did John baptize people?" And boy, Jesus was so cool. He put them in a corner, boy. And they started reasoning among themselves. If we say John's authority came from heaven, then he's going to say, "Why didn't you obey him then?" And if we say John's authority came from man, then the crowd's going to get upset because they believe John was a prophet. So they came up with the best answer in the whole Bible. "We don't know." The first time they answered right, the religious people. "Don't know." They played it safe. And Jesus said, "Then I'm not going to tell you from where my authority comes." See, they refused to recognize his authority from the Father, so they quenched the power. The people who recognized his authority, the Roman centurion, saw the power. Entire denominations will not recognize God-appointed, God-anointed authorities, so they quench the power. It's not God. It's ignorance on our part. We quench the power in this house when we do not recognize God-appointed, God-anointed authority. We can't operate in great faith, and we need to operate in great faith to see great things, so we better understand authority, we better know who's under authority, and we better come under authority. Amen? All right, Acts chapter 3, you're familiar with the story here. Peter is walking through the gate called Beautiful, and a man lame from his mother's womb was asking for arms, and Jesus, or Peter, said, "Any fool can see you don't need arms, you need legs. Get up and walk." I'm trying to hurry. I'm running out of time. And what's cool about the story, and you're going to have to read it because I got to get to another place here. I spent too much time getting here. I apologize. But the funny thing is, him and John are walking through this gate, and he made a profound statement. He looks at this guy who's crippled, and he says, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, you walk." The man was restored, miraculously healed. The people went crazy. Then in verse 12, I'll just read one passage here. You mark it, and then I want to end with Acts 19. "And when Peter saw it," because see, all these people started marveling at the power of God, and so they started looking at Peter and looking on Peter as though Peter did it with his own power. And Peter says in verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?'" I love those kind of things. He looks at the guy crippled and says, "Look on us." The people see the power of God, and they look on Peter, and Peter says, "Why you look on us?" It's something to think about. And I love the way he says, "Why do you look on us as though by our power and our holiness we made this man whole?" Do you realize 2,000 years later, entire denominations look at Peter and say, "It died. The power of God died and passed away with Peter," because Peter was an apostle, and Peter had a power we just don't have. And Peter told every one of us, don't look on them as if it was his power. It wasn't his power. It wasn't his holiness. It wasn't anything after the flesh. It was faith in the name of the Holy Child Jesus that made that man whole. And he was walking in his authority, so great power was released. And that guy accepted and received his authority, and the power of God healed that guy miraculously through simple faith in Jesus. Amen. I believe for the second coming of the Lord, we're going to recognize authority, and the power is going to be so released, and we're going to honor, not worship, but we're going to honor spiritual authority in a way that the power is going to start flowing freely and more freely and more freely, and we're going to learn how to not look on man as though it was man's power that makes people whole. People are so slow. You can pray for the sick, and they'll walk out in some groups and say, "Did you see that? That man healed that guy." Man can't heal people. It's not man healing. Man has the authority. God's got the power. If man operates under authority, the power of God can be released, and God can heal people, but man can't heal people. It's not our power. We don't have the power to live the Christian life. We don't have the power to do good. We don't have the power in and of ourselves to heal. We don't have the power in and of ourselves to bless. It's God's power, but it's at our command, Isaiah 45:11 says, and it's released by faith, and faith can't work when we're not under authority. One more passage, I'll quit. Acts 19. This is a story that'll help us in operating in our authority and power in doing spiritual warfare. As long as I'm under authority, there'll be the power for me to deal with the devil about anything. But if I get out from under God's authority, the devil will clean my clock. That's why I can't live in sin, live in darkness. I come out from God's, under God's covering, and if I get in sin and don't repent, if I stay there, then Satan can clean my clock, because the power won't be there because I'm out from under God's authority. Amen? In Acts chapter 19, verse 10, "And they continued by the space of 2 years, so that they all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Notice it was by Paul's hands, but God's the one that wrought the miracle. Remember how I taught you? We have the hands. We have the authority. God's got the power. When you put our hands, authority, together with God's power, you see lives changed. And that's what I'm into. I'm into lives changed, not fussing and fighting. Verse 12 says, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed out of them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Think about that. These are demons. They're going, "Jesus we know." Why? Jesus operated under God's authority and whipped the snot out of us. Paul we know. Why? Paul was under God's authority, so the power was there, and Paul whipped the snot out of them. And it's as if every demon in hell spoke to those 7 sons of Sceva and says, "Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who in hell are you? We don't know you." Jesus knew his authority and the devils knew Jesus knew it, so they came out. Paul knew his authority and the devils knew Paul knew his authority, so they came out. But listen, the devils knew that they didn't know their authority. And so the next verse says, verse 16, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." I don't know what that means exactly. But they got a whipping. And that didn't die and pass away with the last apostle either. Demons are still alive and well. Amen. And I don't understand exactly what happened to them 7 boys. But they found out when you get out from under authority and you don't know who you are, and you're not walking under the authority of God, the power will not be there to deal with demonic forces. And I've seen this in my life. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in intercessory prayer groups. Now listen to me. I'm closing, and this is when people can miss me because I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to make just one simple point, so don't run with this and miss me on this. But a lot of times, intercessors, listen, they'll start to pray for a church. They'll start to pray for the pastor, and they will get out beyond their understanding or beyond their authority and get whipped. People who take on prayer and intercessory prayer and spiritual warfare, if they get out from under a covering authority, or they try to exercise their authority beyond their understanding or their boundaries. In other words, a lot of times an intercessor will begin to pray for the ministry, but instead of praying for me, suddenly the intercessors will get together and start to critique me or judge me or criticize me. Now they're coming against authority. Satan starts cleaning their clocks. It's amazing how many intercessors get destroyed because they got out from under authority. They got out beyond their understanding, and the very enemy that they're trying to bind winds up attacking and destroying them. Happens all the time. Churches that get out beyond their authority, try to do something God didn't call us to do, we come under demonic assault, and we can't whip them. Am I making any sense? Now, I know this isn't popular, and I know it just flies right in the face of tradition and religion, but what's new with me? All I'm trying to tell you is we're going to get into some harder stuff, and if you can't handle this, tell me now so we don't get into the weightier matters and dealing with the heavy stuff, because if we're not ready for it, fine. We're doing a good job where we are. We can go incrementally. I can keep giving you milk. Or we can get busy, and we can get serious, and we can humble ourselves and go, God, we don't have it all figured out, so we're going to operate in the knowledge we have, though limited, and we're trusting you for more knowledge, and we want to understand this, not so we can argue, not so we can fuss and fight, not so we can split the church now and start a new group that deals with demons this way, and another group deals with demons this way, and another group just full of the devil. Because I want us to be more effective. I don't want to play church. I don't want to waste my life on this earth and not change people's lives. And theology ain't getting it done. Doctrines aren't getting it done. We need a relationship with God, and we need wisdom, and we need to operate skillfully in the things of God. And when something's not working, we need to humble ourselves and say, that ain't working. We need to do something different. And when it is working, we need to go, that's working. How is it working? And let's teach other people how to work it better. Because I don't want to be the only one that knows how to pray and get results. I want people that stand down here to know how to pray and get results. I want you to know how to pray and get results. I want to see something change in our geographical area, and it won't happen if we don't know how to pray effectively. And we can't pray effectively because that's spiritual warfare if we don't know our authority and live within it and humble ourselves and submit one to another in the fear of the Lord and now see the power released to make a difference in people's lives. Amen. I hope you want that. I really hope you want that. Because we got churches on every corner. If you want a social club, there's plenty of places to go to. I don't want to be a part of a social club. I don't want to just go through the motions. And I don't want to just preach the rest of my life either. I want to do the works of Jesus. And I want you to do the works of Jesus. And if I'll do the works of Jesus and you do the works of Jesus, we can turn this town upside right. Upside right. Amen. But see, the sad thing is, I wish I could give you the letters when these tapes get out of religious idiots that don't even believe a demon can affect a Christian. And so we believe these doctrines while we're getting beat up. A devil can't touch me. I don't know what that was, but I'm a believer. Sorry, that was not proper protocol for a man of God. Stand up on your feet. I got to pray. And I want to pray effectively. And I want my prayer to count. I don't want to be religious. I want to pray and something happen. Amen. Amen.